get it later because we're not going to look at it this morning. I just want to, when we get to, when we go through lesson two, there's going to be some important people on this Herod's household here. House of Herod. Who sliced off John the Baptist's head?
One of the Herods,
that's right. It wasn't Herod the Great.
Nope.
He's gone.
Yep.
So it's one of his sons. If you look, you don't have to look at it, but just when you're studying lesson two, and we get to that point, if you have it with you, fine. If you look down here,
Antipas.
All right. It's kind of almost straight across from Herod the Great's name right there.
Yep.
Herod Antipas. Look down there.
He put John
to death. There's a line that goes from Herod Philip underneath him over to Herodias and Salome, or Salome, however you want to say it. There's a connection there. Anyway, as we study lesson two, and I should have told you that last week, that might be helpful. there's another thing I wanted to point out. Let's see what it was. I guess that was it. Lesson one is what I meant to say. Is there anything that we want to go back and look at lesson one, which is the birth of Jesus? And lesson one with the application down there, we were talking about the difficulty or how it took great faith in Mary and Joseph's part to accept what the angel told them. Anything else on the application of lesson one? We haven't looked at lesson two yet, have we?
No.
All right. I've studied so far ahead, I forgot where we were, I guess. Looking at lesson one application, you don't have to find your sheet. I'll just read this. It was what God asked Mary and Joseph in the matter of the birth of Christ was a singular trial of faith. A virgin shall conceive. I do not know a man conceived of the Holy Spirit, save his people from their sins. All quotations. No wonder Joseph was afraid and Mary amazed, as it says in Luke 1, Matthew 1. From this we learn the importance of having sufficient faith to do the will of the Lord. So, they did accept it. Joseph questioned it, we might say in one sense. But it's an example of what is required if we believe. And that's a complete trust in what God says. And after it's explained to them, that's what happened. They went down to Egypt, went back home to Nazareth. Lesson two, the baptism of Jesus. I'm sorry, that's lesson three. Lesson two, the John the Baptist. I'll get you confused here in a minute if I can. That's what we want to look at today. Surveying the life of Christ, we begin with a fellow by the name of John. The lesson aim, it says, is to learn who John was and why he's called the Baptist. The daily readings there are the birth of John announced, Luke 1, the birth of John, Luke 1 and Luke 3. John begins his ministry, Matthew 3 and Mark 1. What John said about Jesus, John the first chapter. John exalts Christ, John the third chapter in Luke 9. What Jesus said about John in Matthew 11 and Luke 7. And Herod puts John to death in Matthew 14 and Mark 6. That's the reason I said, if, as you studied this, and I should have mentioned last week, that sheet there will help, where it has the Herod of the life, the household of Herod. As I mentioned last week, the questions for review are a little more challenging in one sense than what the first lesson's questions for review were. We'll run through those maybe very quickly after we have a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come before your majesty, your holiness, hallowed be your name. We are appreciative to know what you did in preparation for the coming of our Savior. We pray that we can look at these things and gain greater insight, but a greater faith also. A trust in you that what you have provided for us is indeed what is best for us, what is good for us, what leads to our eternal life. May we appreciate these things. May we understand. May we give unto you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully, if you had this sheet, which we handed out last week, then you looked at those passages that we just looked at there in the daily Bible readings. Who were the parents of John the Baptist? And tell about them. We studied that last week. At least we mentioned them a couple of times, didn't we? John the Baptist's parents. Elizabeth and Zechariah. It says, tell about them. Well, what's it got to tell about Elizabeth and Zechariah? They were youngsters, right? Oh, they weren't. All right. They were after childbearing, and Zacharias, worked out in the fields. He was a priest. And where do we find him when it first mentioned? He was in the temple. Or was he in the Holy of Holies? His name was drawn as one who would
go in and go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense.
Go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Was he a high priest? He was just a priest, I heard somebody say. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies one time in a year. John was in there burning incense and, Zacharias, John's father, as he came to be, Zacharias. And when he left the temple, what was his condition? He couldn't talk. What did the angel tell him? You're not going to be able to talk. Did he tell him anything about the son that he would have? He did. What did he say about him?
He was to name him John.
All right, he'd name him John. Elizabeth was past childbearing age. Somebody said something to her as well. Gabriel is the one, as I recall, am I correct, that spoke to Mary and Zacharias and Elizabeth. And was it Gabriel that said to Elizabeth, you'll have a son? And you'll name his name, and you'll give his name Zacharias.
We're
talking about Elizabeth. She was told also that his name would be John? Okay. All right. Who announced the birth of John to his parents? We've already said that. Number three, what was to be the sign of John's birth to his father? We've already talked about that. I'll give you a sign, Zacharias. What was it? All right, you'll not be able to speak until he comes. Question number four is kind of interesting. Who named John? Give some thought to this question the person has here. Who named John? We've already said, but it may be a little tricky.
God
named him. Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel said, you'll call his name John. When the people, John was born, who named him? Zacharias did. But who said it first? Did Elizabeth? Yeah, she could actually speak. So Elizabeth, the people said, what's his name going to be? She said, John. Father Zacharias, what's the son's name going to be? He was able to speak, or did he write it down? He wrote it down, and he said also his name is John. So three people named him. Technically only one. God did, Gabriel the angel. But when the people ask about it, both Zacharias and Elizabeth said John will be his name. What message did John come preaching? I skipped number five, didn't I? Well, since I've read number six, what message did John come preaching? I heard some comments, but I didn't get them. So,
repentance.
Okay. Give you a thought question here. Did he say anything about for the kingdom is at hand? Yep. Interesting that Ward says that he would try to turn God's people back to God. Why would he do that? They're God's people.
Because they were hard-hearted and stiff-necked and had gone away from God and followed their own rules.
Okay. We'll see more and more of that as Jesus Jesus confronts the Israelites or the Jews. Back up number five. What three things did Zacharias foretell concerning John? That's one we don't remember too well, do we? Three things. He'd be a prophet, I think I heard Joyce say. All right, prophet of the Most High. He'd prepare the path of the Lord. Okay, preach remission of sins or the knowledge. The way I've got it is salvation. So that's three things that that Zacharias foretold concerning what John. Who came to John to be baptized, number seven? The Jews? More specific than that? Okay, I heard four voices at once, so let's try again.
Jesus.
All right.
Okay.
Who came to be baptized of John? In these passages, we don't have Jesus mentioned that I recall, but that answer is correct. So who was it before Jesus?
Those that believed his preaching.
Does it say anywhere? You can find the passage for me if I've got it right. That all Judea came out to hear John. Not necessarily to be baptized of him. Think about that a while. Somebody finds it, we'll look at it.
In verse 7 of 3, John said that a crowd is coming out to be baptized by him.
Okay, a crowd. That version says crowd. Luke 3:7, did you say, Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark 1:5.
All right, there's one I was thinking of. Mark, what is that, 1?
Mark 1, 5.
1, 5, all the country of Judea. How does it say all the country of Judea came out to hear him or be baptized of him?
All the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing
their sins. All right. So John's preaching had, and this is not in the sheet right here in this question, but John's preaching had some effect, didn't it? They came out. The passage there that Kyle read gives us an indication that John was somewhere not far from Jerusalem during the baptizing. There is a map somewhere, and I'm not going to look it up, that shows approximately where John was baptizing. I haven't given it to you yet. But so and they came out, and did it say confess their sins?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So he told them to repent. Must have had some effect because they confessed. Number 9 says, oh, wait a minute, I skipped 8. I'll come back to my thought in a minute. How did John describe Jesus when compared to himself? Okay, Ted says that John says, I'm not even worthy to untie that guy's shoes. That's a funny expression. And I never have understood it particularly over the years. But actually, probably, and I'm not saying that untie shoes was not a bad is a bad translation, but I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes, sandals actually, to walk behind him and carry his sandals. It's kind of the idea, as I understand it, as far as this is what a servant would do, yeah. So it's translated, untie sandals, carry his sandals. One version says bear, B-E-A-R, his sandals. Okay, kind of an interesting thought anyway. Who sent John to the Jews, and for what purpose was he sent? All right. God sinning. And what was the purpose besides turning to God? John's purpose when he was sent was to prepare the way for the Lord. And in doing that, he was to be a... Yeah, go ahead. Good question. This John over here asked a question about John. Is there any reference that shows, he first of all prefaced it that John was given the Holy Spirit, so is there any reference that shows that John worked, John the Baptist, the baptizer, worked miracles? Anybody recall any that he did? Must not have, John. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. John's personality, his presence, whatever you want to say, was rather forceful, I would think, in one sense. Maybe that's not the best description. He's out there in the wilderness, and what did he wear? Camel's hair? All right. Did he ever cut his hair or shave? Okay, so in 1967 terms, here's this hippie out there at the Jordan River saying,
to me,
Yeah. John was out there bearing witness of the light. Is that a good quotation or phrase that we find? You think about that while we find out what Ted's got to say. You have your hand up, Ted?
Yeah, I think that would be looking for asking.
All right.
I got a question.
All right. Bear witness of the light. See if you can find that anywhere. What's your question, Ted? Locust and wild honey, yeah, yeah.
Now, is that locust, is that talk about an insect, or is that a locust, is that a being something else that he's
insect about that big.
Yeah, so he actually was eating the insect.
Yeah, I've tasted them, they're not too bad, but they're awful bitter.
So that was kind of a point against the Jewish locals about what they had, what they eat and not eat, right?
Were locusts abomination to the Jews to eat, unclean to the Jews, be a better way of putting it, to eat. Look it up for your assignment next week. What did John say about Christ, number 10? And then you got the scripture there, John 1:34. He is the Son of God. Mo? Okay, that's about the light. That's part of what I answered number 9. Who sent John to the Jews? For what purpose was he sent? To bear witness to the light. But as to who John said Christ, what did John say about the Christ, about Christ in this question 10? He said he's the Son of God. We'll talk more about that phrase later. Number 11, using a marriage ceremony, what did John describe the relationship to his relationship to Christ? John says, I'm not the Messiah, not in the passage here. This guy here, what's my relationship to him? Using the marriage ceremony as an illustration. Anybody remember anything about the marriage feasts and so forth that they had back then? Here comes the groom. Somebody else is with him. Was he called? The friend of the groom, I think I heard somebody say. I'm not the groom, is in essence what John's saying. I'm just the friend of the groom. The friend of the groom had a lot to do in the preparation for the marriage feast. Kind of like, and I guess that's where the custom came from, the groom's best man, as we call him today, at the wedding reception, as we call it today, who gets up and makes the first speech?
Best man,
as we call him. What did Jesus, number 12, say was written in the Old Testament about John? Oh, this is Jesus talking about John. What did he say in the Old Testament about John? Malachi 3:1, I'll give you the passage. Say it louder, Ted. You may be right.
One crying in the wilderness.
One crying in the wilderness. Anybody in Malachi 3? Verse 1, read it, whoever says it first.
See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty.
Okay. So, now that's the passage that Jesus referred to. Where did Jesus refer to that passage? That's the next question. Not the next question here, that's my next question.
Matthew 11,
verse 10. We've got We've got that up there. What Jesus said about John, Matthew 11, verse 7 through 10. So you look at Matthew 11, 7 through 10, and somewhere in there do you see Malachi 3, verse 1 quoted? Okay. What did Jesus say was, that's number 12 I already looked at. Number 13, whom did Jesus say was greater than John the Baptizer? We're getting in now talking about Jesus talking about John. Who's greater than John, Jesus said? The least in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say who that was, did he? All right. And for what reason did Herod put John the Baptist in prison? There's your Herod guy. But why did he put him in
prison? He accused him of having a brother's wife.
Okay. And if you and that's the reason I said, if you look at this, you'll see all the lines here: Herodias and Salome and Herod the Philip. Herod Philip the First was Herod Antipas' brother. John says you got that guy's wife and you shouldn't have her, so he put her in, put him in prison. You talk to me like that, I'll put you in prison. Yeah. So, what happened to John while he's in prison? Well, we all know that one. That's probably one of the more familiar stories. Herod Antipas had a big feast, that's the gal. What was her mother's name?
Herodias.
Had his supposed wife, daughter, come in and dance, and she set up a job with her daughter. I want John's head, but she didn't like him either. So they cut off his head. All right, questions for review. Some of them are a little difficult in our memory, huh? But anything before we look at the thought questions? Yes?
I think it is interesting that John sends word to Jesus from prison.
Yes.
Just for confirmation. I mean, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You would think this would be maybe he was doing it for the benefit of others. But he did send someone to ask, are you the one that we've been waiting for?
Yeah, everybody remember that? Did you hear? Kelly points out that John, while he was in prison, sent messenger to Jesus. Are you the one that we were looking for? And it kind of, and I don't know if this is what Kelly has in mind, it's kind of my mind, well, John, you've been talking about, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he said one time. He's the groom, and I'm just the friend of the bride, the groom. What do you want, John? Full of the Holy Spirit, as somebody pointed out. Why would you ask that? Does it tell us this is why John asked that? No. What do you suppose? So we're going to suppose right here for a minute. Oh, yeah. He says, I want confirmation. That's what he said he wanted. Are you the one that we were looking for? But why did he ask that? But John didn't do any.
Maybe John needed to hear it directly.
Okay. Maybe. He's by himself alone in that prison. He was doubting. Put yourself in John's place. And of course, this is our supposing. We don't know. It doesn't say John sent to ask Jesus because this is why he did it. Or this is why John did it. You said put yourself in that prison. It's not the Holiday Inn. And he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Brian.
He doesn't know what's going on outside there either. There's no TV like we have today in our prison.
He didn't have his cell phone down there with him.
He didn't have internet. He's internet. Isolated.
Isolated. There may be a number of reasons. He really wanted to confirm from Jesus? Is this what's going on? Here I'm in prison. Okay, we don't really know.
John had a lot of followers, though. You know, it's,
yep.
It's like, oh, and he supposed maybe he was going to die, you know, whether that's even divinely or just by his condition. It's like, well, before I die and send all my followers over to Jesus, I just need to hear
it. Okay. What Jesus tell the messengers to tell John? You go back and tell John. Tell John what you've seen was what?
Signs and miracles.
So Jesus used signs and miracles to show John, I am who I am, because the lame can walk, the blind can see. The lepers are healed. I don't know if all those things are mentioned in that passage. So, Jesus, that's interesting. And I've often wondered, why didn't Jesus go to John and tell him himself? I don't know. But I've thought about that. Maybe you're not thinking like I think. So, in what sense was John Elijah? Thought question number one. And you got your passages, Matthew 11:14 and Luke 1:17 and John 1:21. So we've got three different accounts. In what sense was John Elijah? He'll come in the power of Elijah, right? Mo.
Now we've got 4 or 5 predicted that he would send Elijah back to restore the hearts of the people. And so John coming and preaching repentance to bring Israel back to God, he was fulfilling Malachi 4:5.
Okay. There's some more we would need to say about that probably, but that's good. Go ahead, Ward.
Yeah, if you think about the things that Elijah did in order to turn the people back to God, that's impressive. And what John did is impressive. As I recall, on one of the scriptures, it says Jesus said that there was no one greater than John.
Okay. But John didn't work any miracles like Elijah did. I say Elijah worked miracles. God worked miracles to the prophets of Baal up there on Mount Carmel and so forth. What's another thought, though, as to how he was like Elijah? Did Elijah and John mince their words?
No. Herod, speaking his mind, and so both saw it. John was thrown in prison, but Elijah was pursued because of that.
And by the way, was it Elijah that kind of acted the same way that John did? Now, John didn't say what Elijah did, but Elijah went out there and said, there's not one, the only one in Israel that I'm trying to keep God in the forefront, and that's my quote. Pardon me? They needed encouragement. Elijah, after all he did, needed encouragement. I'm not saying that's exact parallel with John, but he evidently needed some encouragement. But John, and I think this is not the answer to the question, but it's a part of what's all been said. He came with the spirit of Elijah in the sense, here's what you got to do. Did he call them brood of vipers, or was that Jesus?
John did.
Okay, so he didn't mince words. That's what I was saying. Ted?
I was just going to say the same thing. He didn't mince words. He asked him, well, who told you to flee the wrath?
From the wrath of God to come. All right. So we got some, this isn't the point of this question here, this thought question, but we've got some, shall we say, some type and antitype in the Old Testament. And there's a number of things like that. Jesus, of course, is the greatest example. Here is Joshua, who is a type of Jesus. Moses, who's a type of Jesus. And so forth. And so Elijah is a type of John the Immerser. Brian?
Elijah was a predecessor to Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha performed a lot of miracles, at least what we have recorded. He performed more than Elijah.
Yep.
Might be another foreshadowing.
All right. that's part. Yeah.
I call him a bulldozer because he was preparing the way. He was.
Yeah.
He was like a bulldozer in construction equipment to level the road.
Yeah.
He's getting the hearts of the people turned towards the Lord. So there's confession going on. There's, I don't want to spoil the
next
surprise, trip. But there's baptism for a certain reason.
Yeah. We're going to have to get into that next week. But go ahead. We got Kelly and Ted.
Well, the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the time of his birth, we know that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak the word of God.
He's going to speak the word of God.
And it was going to be pretty bold. I mean, not just because that was personality, but
right.
He was filled with the Spirit to
really
lay it out.
But it touches the hearts of those who are truly seeking.
Yeah. And it's just going to be the same thing with Jesus. There were some who, as pointed out a while ago, had hardened hearts and they didn't accept Jesus.
Right.
Some here, he touched their hearts and told them, you need to repent. And they realized what they needed to repent of, and et cetera, et cetera. Ted, go ahead, and we don't have to.
Well, John was able to recognize Jesus. He was the Lamb of God. Now, it may not be miraculous as we might think of being miraculous, but that certainly, I would think, some divine intervention in us. But he was able to recognize Jesus for who he was.
Brian.
Well, we're going to get to why that was, aren't we?
Yeah, next week?
Yeah.
Okay, question then, right quick. What is Ted talking about? When Jesus was baptized, give you that much? Is that what he was talking about?
Yeah.
And what happened when Jesus was baptized?
God confirmed it
how?
The Spirit descending.
The Spirit descending upon him. How many people, here's this question for you next, how many people saw John baptize Jesus? Next week, we'll continue with lesson two, but I'm going to go ahead and give you lesson three. So that you can be working on it as well, and that question we just asked will have to do with lesson three, which is the baptism of Jesus. And my question was, find out when John baptized Jesus and the Spirit descended upon him like unto a dove, how many people saw that? You know, I'm not saying, well, you're going to find this is how many. Just get my question. Thank you. Lesson number two, we'll continue with the thought questions and the application. So it depends on whether or not we'll get into lesson three. But you've got it now, and so you can be looking at it ahead of time. We'll learn some more astounding things about John and Jesus.